anxiety, takes all of our fear, takes all of our sin, takes hold of that bitterness and hardness of heart, and you work in us in all circumstances for your good. And so we just look for you today to do that work afresh. So as I teach this morning, as we open up the Word and look at some very simple concepts that have massive effect, I just pray that you would be honored in our response to you. I pray that you would speak through me, that your people might hear your voice and be drawn to you as only you can. For your glory, we ask it. Amen. We've been talking here for 4 weeks now about this issue of forgiveness and about how do you deal with the wounds that other people put into your life. And we'll be transitioning now into the next 4 weeks of rebuilding broken bridges, talking about reconciliation. And oftentimes there's great confusion between the issue of forgiveness, letting go of that which other people have done to us, and reconciliation, rebuilding a relationship with those who have wounded us in a broken relationship. And so we're going to just, this message is kind of part of both, part of forgiveness and part of reconciliation. It's a little bit of prep and a little bit of capping off of the last one. And so I was just thinking about that. And a lot of the truths here that we'll look at today are very common messages that you have been given by your mother. I thought it was interesting, because I'm not giving you a standard Mother's Day message today, but you will recognize some advice from Mom, I am sure, in some of what we have to say today. But when you talk about the pain that other people put in your life, I think it's important to realize that wounds are oftentimes the result of the enemy's weapon in your life. We tend to look at that as, that person did that to me. And things have been used against us by others, but it was really the work of the enemy in our lives. And so it is important to understand that this is very simple, friends, but the devil is out here to destroy you. And he'll use anyone, anything, any circumstance that he can to distract you from walking with him. And I think all of us have had those experiences where we started a conversation with good intent, and somewhere, somehow, you said something or the response came back to you from somebody else and it touched something else, and there's this... And you see it as soon as you say it. You know those kind of experiences? And you just go, ooh, not good, not good. You know, you want to take it back, but once it's been spoken, it's been spoken. And we wound others, particularly with our words. But in those situations, what I want us to see, as we looked at this forgiveness now as we move towards reconciliation, is that it's how you respond to the wounds of your life that determine the health of your heart. It is not what happens to you that determines your health. It is not. Many people I have found who've been through horrific things and still radiate the joy of Christ. And others I find who've had a fairly safe life, a fairly comfortable experience as far as I may be aware of in their life, and you don't always know everything about everybody. And yet, they're tied up in knots. And so, forgiveness is a key thing, but it's more than just letting go. And I want us to look at that today. Because, you know, all of us, I think, have some painful people in our lives. It just seems God seems to give everybody a measure. Isn't that right? There's some painful people, and then sometimes there's these painful circumstances that come at certain points of life, and others have it all the way through their lives. And it's God's intention in those situations to what? To grow you up. But it's the devil's intention to tear you down. And if you just realize that there's a battle going on for your soul in each of these situations. And so when the devil attacks and one of these wounds comes in, I want you to counterattack. All right? You realize, okay, I'm being hit, and there's a tendency then to become the victim, and you become introspective, as opposed to saying, you know what? I'm not letting him take me down. See, the Bible doesn't tell you to run from the devil. What does it tell you to do? It tells you to resist. You resist. You fight back against the devil. You run from temptations, but you resist the attack of the evil one. And so I want to talk about counterattack today, overcoming evil with good. Not letting others' wounds, not letting others' treatments or other circumstances pull you aside from God's plan, but saying, I'm going to overcome this and I will become more through this. Because I'm not sure how you've experienced it, but I have noticed that sin put into my life by other people can distort my perception. It distorts my perception of them. All of a sudden I'm doing what? I'm judging their motives. I'm acting differently towards them. It distorts my behavior. It can lead you into all sorts of incredibly unhealthy decisions if we don't resolve our stuff. And so that's why we spent this time talking to us. So I want you to turn me to Romans chapter 12. He's going to tell us what not to do. And he's also going to tell us what we ought to do, how we ought to be moving and responding to him. So, Romans 12, verse 17. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved. But leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Being mistreated does not give you permission to be disobedient. I find so often we sound like little children, but they did this to me. You know, and what your mom used to say, two wrongs don't make a right. Isn't that right? It's not okay to be disobedient. So he says here in verse 17 and then also down there in verse 19. And so I decided to take them together. All right. Because they're both truths are right there. He says in one, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. In the other, he says, never take your own revenge. Now, is that clear? Never means never, not any time, not at all, not once. God can be so demanding at times. That's one of those situations that pushes you back and say, no, we tend to want to take revenge. But what does he say? Stop it. Don't ever do that. It's a contradiction of the gospel, friends. It contradicts the grace that God extends to us. And so your first thought is this. Refuse revenge. Refuse it. When it comes, it's an offer. You could do this. You know, I used to, not proud of this, but we'll just use my story. That's the only one I got. All right. I used to say in college, I don't get even. I get one up. That was the way I operated. And so you did me, You know, and a lot of times that was kind of the fun thing between guys and different things. Somebody does something to you. But a lot of people have that philosophy. In fact, you look around the world in world affairs, and isn't that the way people operate? Hey, I'm going to, you strike me this much, I'll strike you this much. The Bible says, God says, never refuse revenge to anyone and everyone. It doesn't matter who it is. It doesn't matter what they've done. Now, and I bring that up because right now I know some of you are going back to some events. And some of the stuff, the horrific, evil, lousy, abusive, disgusting things that have happened to you are things that would be worthy of revenge. God says, don't do that. It's going to damage you. All right? And because he says here, he says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. We need to have a theology that affects all of our experience, don't we? Don't have just this thing, okay, no, God forgives me. You need to have a theology that embraces all the world around you, all the circumstances you're going to go through. And so we can refuse taking revenge because you're trusting God to be the righteous judge. You're going to trust God to be the righteous judge in your life. And you're going to let Him handle life. Because what happens when we start taking revenge? You know, that we call that something in this culture. What's that? Vigilante justice. Isn't that right? You know? And some of you wish you had one of those little Batmobile cars because when that person cuts you off, you just would find that little button and blast them. You know, it's like, I'll take care of that. You know, we just react to situations and we want to strike back. But friends, he's saying never practice payback. Not to your children, not to your spouse, not to your parents. Look how it's put here in 1 Peter 3, 8 and 9. I'd like you to read this out loud with me. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. Now this is interesting. He says you were called to inherit the blessing. And is that true of you? You were called to inherit a blessing. And so he says, what? Be the blessing. Be what you want to experience. He says, don't return evil for evil. Don't return insult for insult. That is so good. In fact, I need to speak to just one portion of the crowd here. Men, we are awesome at insult for insult. Are we not? I mean, men are incredible. You tag me, I'll tag you back. Would you? And sometimes that's just a fun, healthy, safe thing amongst guys. And sometimes it's a destructive, painful thing. And sometimes, guys, you know, we do it guy to guy. Just a little word of advice. Never, never guy to girl. It does not work that way. I don't have time to explain all that this morning, but I think most of you know what I'm talking about. We do damage. She says, never do this. We have a saying in our culture that revenge is what? I'm here to tell you that's a lie. It is sour, all right? It is sick. In fact, it is satanic. You're going back after something that's garbage. Don't go there. I want to communicate this as powerfully and strongly as I can. And so this is graphic, but you watch it happen. You watch a dog walking along, and all of a sudden it's got something problem going on. What does it do? Heaves up lunch. And what does it do? It returns and eats it. That's what revenge is, friend. It's eating vomit. Don't do it, All right? Don't do it. He says, that's just this disgusting thing. I don't want you to ever have a part of that. And then he says this. He says, beloved. He speaks to you as beloved. He says, you're what? You're the forgiven people. You're the loved people. If you know who you are, you live out of who you are, not what's happened to you. Live out of who you are. Don't let somebody else change you. But some of you are going to love this part of it. This does make it just a little bit easier. He says, leave room for the wrath of God. He's let God do your payback. I'm here to tell you, God can come up with far better responses of payback than you and I can ever come up with. Have you read your Bible? The disciplined creativity of God is amazing. So just say, you know what, God? I need you to handle this. And you release it over to God. Leave room for the wrath of God. He says vengeance is his. So if you take vengeance, what are you doing? You're stealing something that belongs to God. And I just have heard a few places in the Bible, he doesn't take kindly to stealing. It's just not a good idea. Whether it's your offering, you know, he talks about that. Or whether it's vengeance. He says, don't steal from me. Don't get in God's way. Isn't that interesting thought? That you could be in God's way? You put yourself in some situations and you become part of the problem. Listen, what does he say? Vengeance is mine. I will repay. What's that mean? That God is a righteous and a holy judge. Will you trust him with the wickedness and the wicked ones that are in your life? You say he's a righteous, holy judge, then live like it. Say, okay, I'll take care of it. He says he'll take care of it, then you believe God will take care of it. If you don't, what are you trying to do? You're trying to take God's job. Don't take the throne as your own. It's occupied and well covered, all right? So reject revenge, all right? And then he says this in that 18th verse. If possible. You know, God knew some of the people we're dealing with, doesn't he? He says, if possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. He says what? Refuse revenge. Okay, that's just stay out of trouble. Don't go after that. But then he says this. This is the positive. He says, pursue peace. Pursue peace. We have a tendency, says that person hurts you, you say, okay, fine, I'm done with them. And we go to doing nothing. We go to just avoiding. We go to total withdrawal. He says, no, I want you to pursue peace. If possible, so far as it depends on you, I want you to do things that will bring peace into the situation. You're to pursue peace with all whenever it is personally possible. There are some people who will not let you get there, all right? Some of you have been through the frustration and agony of a restraining order. And somebody says, you cannot come into my... It's pretty hard to pursue peace with a person who's put a restraining order on you. Just if you need some advice about that, just follow the restraining order. That's what promotes peace, okay? Because I see people trying to break them. Well, no, it's there for a reason. You may not think it's just or right. Just trust God to work it out. Friends, we need to respect what is right. Did you see that down here? It says, respect what is right in the sight of all men. Back up there in 17th verse. See, don't be the cause of further conflict. All right? It says, live your life above reproach. Stop shooting would be another way to put it. You're going to pursue peace? Well, you have to stop shooting in the sight of all men. That's interesting. Respect what's right in the sight of all men. You mean we're supposed to be getting our values from the culture? Lord, help us. No, that's not what he's saying. What he's saying is recognize that people are watching and there is a standard that people will recognize what's right. He says, live above reproach in front of people. People are watching you. And how you and I handle the hurts in our life reveals who you're following. You know? There's other religions out there, and they say, strike them down. Go out there and kill the infidel. Go do this. No, our God said what? Forgive. That's the uniqueness of Christianity, is forgive as I have forgiven you. No other religion's God bears the scars of the sin of its people. Our God forgives, and he calls us to be forgiving people. So he says, respect what is right, if possible, as far as it depends on you. Now, friends, that's what he's saying, is there's something that you're responsible for. All right? Doing what you can do is your responsibility. Ever remember mom telling you something like that? Hey, this is your responsibility. You need to step forward. You need to do what you can do. You can't do everything. You just take care of your part. Okay, that's what God says. Do what you can do. And it's interesting because it's a critical factor for us to handle things this way. What can you do? He's already told us. We went through it the last 4 weeks. You can forgive. You're never going to stay out of revenge. You're never going to stay at peace unless you forgive. Look up here at Hebrews 12, 14, and 15. We've looked at this again, but you know, I think God gave us scripture to review. Is that right? To remind yourself of the word. So let's remind ourselves of these words again. Read this with me. Pursue peace with all men. Is it interesting that the Bible says the same things in different places? Well, there's a point there. You think about that, all right? And sanctification, without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God. Wait. You can come short? You could be a person who's walking with God and come short of the grace of God in situations. You won't extend grace to people. You'll stop short of being gracious. You may not be vindictive, right? So you refuse revenge, but you stop short of giving unmerited favor. That's grace, right? He says, don't stop short of moving to be a person of favor, to moving to be a person of blessing in other people's lives. Don't just hold back vengeance. Turn around and become a person who pursues peace, who gives a blessing, all right? So see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, and that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. We talked about that root thing last week. Isn't that right? That the roots come into your life when there's a wound happens and you bury sin alive in your life. You just don't resolve it. You just push it under. It produces bitterness. And that bitterness grows a root. That's the way the scripture calls it, the root of bitterness. And it grows where? Underground. It grows behind the scenes. It grows out of sight, and you don't notice it, and then all of a sudden you're in a situation, and bingo, a fleshly response comes out of you. I call them landmines. Have you ever hit a landmine in somebody else's life? You're just having this nice conversation, or maybe you're having a difficult conversation, and you say one thing, and kapoo! Where did that come from? You know what I'm talking about? That's the root of bitterness springing up oftentimes. That's something unresolved from the past. It's a past event that hasn't been resolved in their life. And it springs up and there's this explosion. He says, don't let that happen. We're supposed to deal with it. That's why we're talking about this issue of forgiveness. And so last week I brought those vines and roots. You remember those? This one looked a little better last week, didn't it? Okay. This blackberry vine has done what? It has withered. Right? Why? Because it was cut off from its source. You know, and these different roots that I had talked about, we showed how bitterness can spring up from a root. What's happened? It's withered. Why? Because it was cut off from the source. If you cut off that which is supplying the bitterness in your life, it will wither. The flesh will die back when you cut it off. That's what we're supposed to do. And so this whole picture, remember this was the other one, the big one? Or what you guys thought was the big one? You know? But, see, it's died because it got cut off. But what I told you was, my problem has been that this is in my garden, my flower garden in the front of my house, and it just keeps spreading around. Why? Because it's got this big root. And sometimes, friends, when the Bible says, don't let that bitterness stay there because you need to deal with it. Because if you don't, it'll just keep growing. And I couldn't get all the root. And sometimes in your life, you're having trouble, you can't get all the root. You need to do what I did this week, and that's you call up a friend and say, hey, I've got this problem I need to deal with. Have you ever talked through a problem with somebody else, went and got counsel? That's what the Bible says we're supposed to do, seek counsel and let somebody else help you. So I had somebody else help me because I couldn't dig this up. This, my friends, is the same root. Okay? And as you can see, we still don't have it all. All right? But here's the thing. When you begin finding and discovering a root, you need to follow it out, dig it out. I have discovered oftentimes that people have let something grow in their life for decades, and then what they do is they go after that little piece like what we showed. Okay, this is where it showed up, so I'm going to deal with that part. Follow it back to the source. Go back to where you started, where you got offended, where you resolved that you were going to get even rather than forgive, whatever it was that you decided, and let go of that. Forgive that. The interesting thing was that this one here began to poke up, if you can imagine that, through my front yard. And then it began to interfere with my ability to mow the yard. It got too big to be mowed down. You couldn't make it go away. So what'd you do? You just get used to it. That's just part of our yard. You ever seen people act like that with issues in their life? That's just the way I am. You just need to understand that. I'm just a little bit grumpy. Oh, I'm just a little opinionated. Oh, I tend to be outspoken. Friends, there's flesh that ought not to be in the life of any believer. You are to be reflecting the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control of the Holy Spirit. If He's in charge, that's what comes out of the life of a believer. When this other garbage starts coming out, we need to understand that's a root and it's going back to something that needs to be dealt with. We need to do forgiveness. I want to walk this step by step out with you again. I just want you to hear this as we kind of wrap up here today. How do you forgive? We need to forgive fully and freely, okay? But here's some steps. Number one, and if you want to put these on the back of your notes, if you're taking them, that's fine. I didn't print them all out for you. They're pretty simple. But when you have to acknowledge the pain. That, you know, you have to be willing to say, I've been hurt. I've got a wound that needs to be treated. Something happened. And oftentimes you're acknowledging that there were consequences. See, sometimes it's not just what the person did, but it's the impact that it had in your life. It broke your home. It broke somebody else's trust with you. It lost you a job. It broke your health. It affected you. All right. So you have to acknowledge the pain and the consequences. Secondly, you need to accept the payment. As you look at it and say, okay, something happened. There was a bill that was ran up, but I'm going to receive the payment of Jesus Christ. That I believe and affirm that what Jesus Christ did fully paid for all sin for those who hurt me. And I recognize that how forgiven I am. I mean, you think about how offensive you and I have been to God. Oh. Nobody, I don't know if you ever think about this, but nobody has ever wounded me as much as I've wounded God. Nobody has ever sinned against me as much as I've sinned against God. I haven't had that happen. Now, I've had people do some nasty stuff to me, but friends, so I need to accept that what God did was for me and for them. And so I'm going to grab that whole truth of redemption and propitiation, that it satisfies God's wrath. And what can I do? Then I'm going to do what? Don't hold on to it, friends. That's how you get hurt. Remember we talked. You're going to release the person. Release the situation. You're going to let go. All right? I forgive by a faith choice, friends. That I will refuse to press charges. I will refuse to hold grudges. I will let go. I will write off the bill. I will not hang on to the wound or the consequences. I'm going to burn it. I'm going to let it go. And then the step that I'm trying to bring us into today is the fourth step. and I will rejoice in peace. That I will then move into this place where I can thank God for what he's been teaching me and for how he's been shaping me. You move into that new perspective. We'll be talking about that some next week, but Joseph talks about it. He says, you meant it for evil. What's the perspective? But God meant it for good. He changed his perspective. He moved into a place of peace. He says, I'm going to believe that God's at work, and so I'm going to pray that through. I'm going to ask God to work. Friends, that's this next verse here back in Romans 12. He says, therefore, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. What's he saying? Do good. Mom, ever tell you that? Just do some good. Would you just do good? I just would like you to be good. Right? Friends, evil can infect us. It can make you cynical. It can make you harsh. It can make you fearful. It can make you withdraw. But God's plan is for you not just to stop at not doing wrong, but it's to become a good person. It's to do good in other people's lives. See, the Bible says you're supposed to be what? Wise as serpents and harmless as... And somehow we kind of get those two reversed. You know, we're about as wise as a dove and harmless as a serpent. You know, I got little doves come down and feed in my yard. It's been really interesting to watch because a lot of different birds come in and the squirrels come in. And to watch a dove's response. Okay, doves are really attack animals. You notice that, right? You know, they'll lift a wing. Okay, squirrels coming up to them, they're like, hey, leave me alone. They never take a shot at them. They will just leave. He says, we're supposed to be people who bring goodness. And so doing good to those who harm us overcomes evil with good. See, there's a tendency to let the person who does evil to you shape who you are. He says, no, I'm a good person. God's doing a good work in my life. I'm going to continue doing good. So you can overcome it by practicing goodness. And he describes it very specifically in that 20th verse. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. Is that pretty clear? That's pretty clear. What's he saying? He says, meet the needs of enemies. You look, when somebody wounds you, that you have to deal with in a relational way, you look at their life and say, how could I bless them back? What do they need? How could I do something good for them? Think that through. All right? And then there's that phrase, for in doing so, you'll heap burning coals upon your head. Now, friends, there's a lot of different interpretations on this passage, and I find a lot of them are very inconsistent with what the text is saying. It's like, heap burning coals upon your head, because then you'll really get revenge. Is that what the passage is saying? No, the passage is saying you're going to bless them. And the only thing I've heard historically is the concept that you share the coals from your fire that'll keep somebody else's fire going, that you bless them and give them what they need to have provision. And they would do that in a container in the Asian culture that could be carried up on their head. And that you give them, when their fire goes out, you give them life. Friends, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You meet the needs of enemies. You know what did Joseph say to his brothers? You bring all your children here and I will take care of you. I will provide for you. Overcome evil with good behavior. You see, we've said this before, but let me review because you'll see how this develops out. Hurt people hurt people. Is that right? Okay, we understand that. But what does this mean? We're talking about is that hurt people need help. Okay, that's what we're talking about. And what? Helping hurting people helps you. This is part of God's physical, spiritual therapy. You know, when you've been wounded, you go to the therapists, and they help you, what? Do things that you won't do because it hurts to do it. You won't do it. And they stretch you. They make you do exercise and make you do things. That's for what? It's for your good. And what God has written into the Word of God is therapy exercises for your spirit, that you would become strong in Christ, that you become a strong reflection of Christ, that instead of becoming a person who's withered and stiff and can't get around spiritually, that you would step forward with boldness and have full function in the body of Christ. And we wonder, why is the body so limited, and how come we live in a culture that now says everything is okay? It's because the body has allowed the wounds of the past to restrict its function in the present, and we're not letting the Spirit flow. Because this grieves the spirit when we hang on to bitterness. Friends, overcome evil with good. Holding on to hurt hurts you. Releasing hurt heals you. Doing good strengthens you. Your responses to those who wound you can help heal you. It's totally contrary to what you think. It goes, that's the way all these faith principles are. It goes totally against the grain. That's the way God is. It takes faith to believe this stuff. But holding your responses to those who wound you will help heal you. God wants to bring you to a place of victory, not vengeance. Friends, isn't it true? People have done stuff to you that you could never get even if you wanted to. You could do stuff and you go, that still wouldn't satisfy me. You can't come up with something that would satisfy. Then let it go, let God, and step forward with good. God wants you to walk in life, not in death. There's a psalm that expresses this and how we need to look at this. And you can use this psalm for checking roots. All right, this is just a simple prayer. All right, and I'd like you to read that, but if you will let your heart go here as you read, you know, you can pray the scripture back to God as you read it. So that's what I'd like you to do with me. Say, Lord, I hear what the pastor's saying. That's not exactly where my mind has been. That's not exactly what I've been doing, but I want to grow this way. So will you pray this prayer with me? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Friends, if you begin praying that this week, I'd encourage you every day this week, say, well, Lord, search me. Show, is there anything hurtful in me? You wonder, why do I keep responding to my children this way? Why do I keep responding to my spouse this way? Why do I keep responding to my ex this way? Ask God to dig up your roots. I have found he's willing and eager to bring you to a point of health. He doesn't want you to stay wounded. He wants you to move into victory, to overcome evil with good. What are we doing? Counterattack. Go after the enemy. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. It's just so simple and clear and contrary to the way we think. And yet it's truth. I just love it. I love it. And yet it corrects me. And as I've shared it here with my brothers and sisters, Lord, we feel that correction. We feel that counterintuitive direction that you're giving. And Lord, right now we want to renounce the flesh that says that will never work. And we want to embrace the truth that says what God says brings life. And so right here again this morning, Father, I pray for brothers and sisters who've been hanging on to stuff and who've been seeing stuff springing up in their life and are wondering where it's coming from. I ask that you would begin to reveal to us the fleshy issues that we've let stay so long that we've just gotten used to it. We're just mowing around it now. Do a work here, O God. Free us up that you could fill us with that Spirit and that we would be that full reflection of Jesus Christ to this community. Thank you, Lord. We love you. And we thank you for how patient you are with us, how much you love us. For the glory of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. As we stand to sing, if you'd like to come for